Defiant Lives is a new feature documentary by Aussie director Sarah Barton. It's looking at, well, the previously untold story about how disability rights movements in Australia, the United States and Great Britain changed the world as we know it. Sarah Barton joins me. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you here. Now, I'm stunned. 9 years you've been putting together Defiant Lives. 9 years.
I know. If I'd known at the beginning that it was going to be that long, there's no way that I would have. Well, no, you can't say that.
You can't say that at all. Not when it's something this important.
Yeah. Like, I did think it was important enough to stick with it. But I think once you get your first little bit of funding to make a film, well, certainly for me, I feel obliged to continue and to actually deliver something. So that was the thing that kept me going, was that, you know, I got some funding in 2008 from Film Victoria. And then it was just dribs and drabs. So I wasn't working on it constantly for 8 years. I did do a few other things in between. But it really did shape what those 8 years were like for me, though, because I felt that I couldn't really commit to anything else as big.
Well, I can imagine. And look, I want to talk about how I think even within the time you've been making it, I imagine that the disability rights movement has changed and had wins and successes.
It has. But I was very much interested in the history, so the origins. So
yeah.
I felt that that would keep the film very timeless. So there's new things happening now. It's changed a lot since I finished the film because of Trump and because of Brexit and the austerity measures in the UK. Less so in Australia, I believe. But I also think that social media is changing the way activists work a lot. So this is really looking at the origins and looking at disability in a new way, because a lot of people disability is a thing they just don't want to go near. It's like, you know, it's like death.
It is a little like death. We want to acknowledge it. We want to say that we're sensitive to it. But we don't want to go near it.
Exactly. And this is a film, I think, that people can approach disability with some... it takes a lot of the emotion out of it. I mean, of course, the story has emotion in it, but it's less about that sort of personal tragedy sort of narrative and much more about a political movement. So I think people can come at disability with a kind of intellectual understanding of a rights movement. And so it takes away some of that stuff that we kind of avert our eye from, I hope, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to give people a way to look at disability in a way that they don't want to avoid it like we like to avoid death.
Keep the gaze happening.
Yeah.
Now, what was the impetus back in 2008 that saw you kind of hunt down funding and say, let's get this rolling?
Oh, look, I've been working in disability for a long time. So I did No Limits, which was a really long-running community TV series. So when I stopped doing No Limits, I actually got a temporary job as a sort of media liaison person in a disability peak body running a campaign to do with the Victorian state election at the time. And I was working in the office and I came across this book that was a history of disability. It wasn't really focused on the rights movement, but it was just a history of how disabled people had been seen. And it fascinated me. And I thought, ooh, here's a film. That was the impetus.
That was it.
Here's a film.
You've gone deep on it. I think, what, about 30 of the leading figures?
Look, I went on a Churchill Fellowship in 2010 and I travelled to the UK and the US. And look, I didn't interview every key activist, but I did interview a lot of them. And unfortunately, a lot of them have since passed away.
Yeah.
So it was very timely that those people's stories were captured for this film. But there were a lot of people. It was a movement that had a lot of leaders. There's a handful that pop up all the time. But there are a lot of people who've done great work in the disability rights movement.
Well, I think some people, you get a bit surprised to learn that we're talking about 40 years of this movement.
Yeah, well, you know, some of the earliest stories go back to the 1960s.
And, really?
And there's a great quote from a guy who now lives in Sweden, but he's German. And he went to study at the University of California in Berkeley. And he says, and he had a disability. And he said, I was catapulted into the hotbed of flower power in the 1960s. And he actually says that he became a completely different person, because in Germany he was sort of, you know, looked after by his parents and he was kind of childlike. And once he was catapulted into the hotbed, he just became, he had the same disability, but it transformed him personally. And so I think that's a really interesting perspective, and that does go back a long way. But, you know, a lot of the other activist stories are, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, like it's ongoing. Yeah, it's ongoing.
And you've dipped into a lot of archival footage as well.
600 pieces of archive.
Sorry, 600?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It took a long time. We found a lot of footage that people had in their private collections. And so we were able to get a lot of footage that people hadn't seen before. There's a little bit from ABC and other archives. And, yeah, we spent a long time clearing rides. And, of course, you know, YouTube is your best friend and your worst enemy with these jobs because you find the footage, but, of course, the person who put it up there doesn't own it.
Oh, my Lord, of course
and
not.
So you go on these rabbit holes looking for footage. The biggest story was actually chasing a photograph where we spent months and months, this amazing photo we wanted to use, we're chasing this 80-something-year-old art historian who we believed owned the rights to it. And all we could get to him on was a Twitter account, and we kept tweeting him. And he'd never, eventually he answered one of these tweets that we were tweeting at him. And he said, oh, yeah, fine, send me the photo. And we sent it to him. He went, oh, not my photo.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
So we'd spent months doing this. And so we were just about to lock off the picture. And then I thought, I'll put a public Facebook post up with the picture, see if anyone knows it. And within 90 seconds, I had the name of the photographer.
Social media and documentarianism. Hello.
Incredible. Yeah, I believe that a film like this could never have been made before social media, even though it's actually about all of that pre-time. So, yeah, but some of those archive stories are incredible and they're very contemporary.
Well, it's out on the 17th of July.
So we're screening through Demand Film, which people have to book in advance.
Okay.
They can either go to the defiantlives.com website.
We'll put a link on the 2SER.com website for that.
Thank you. Or there's demand.film, which so demand's a way that films like ours can have a cinema release, but you need to book in advance. So
right.
You go onto the website, you find the screening that you'd like to go, and you say, yes, I'd like to buy a ticket. And when we sell enough tickets, we go, yes, that screening's going to go ahead. If we don't sell enough tickets for a certain screening, it's like, well, you might like to go to that one instead. So it's a way of crowdsourcing audiences to guarantee a little bit of success for indie docos like Defiant Lives.
Now that is quite an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, there's a lot of great films on demand, but Defiant Lives, of course, is the best.
Defiant
and the one
Lives,
that you need to go and see.
And the ones you can book in for in Sydney, as I understand it, is Event Cinemas George Street and Dendy Cinemas Newtown.
Yes, and they're both on the 8th.
I want to say the 17th.
17th, yes, 17th, yes. They're
Monday.
Both on the 17th, yes.
Fantastic.
And but, you know, if you can't go on the 17th, we'd love you to go on the 17th, but if you can't, you know, you can also request a screening. If you think you can pull a crowd and bring them to your local area, then get online and request a screening in your area. And if you think you can get about 50 or 60 people, then that's great too. That's how demand works.
We will jump on that. Sarah Barton, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for chatting to breakfast this morning.
It's been a delight to be here.